Welcome. You are listening to Suddenly I See, a gender toolkit for the Smithers, BC area on CICK 93.9 FM. I'm Christine Bruce.
And I'm Laszlo Polgar.
We're at the end of our series of gender queer conversations based on Dr. Lee Ayrton's book, Gender, Your Guide. But before we close out this series, Laszlo and I want to offer one last discussion on what it means to move from being a supporter to being a true ally. How does Smithers rate as a community on this point? Laszlo's not going to sugarcoat reality of living as a genderqueer person in Smithers, but they do have some excellent suggestions for making it better, and it wouldn't take so much to be the kind of community that everyone could be included in. We're calling this final episode Kicking at the Darkness from Bruce Coburn's song Lovers in a Dangerous Time.
My name is Wendy Wright. I'm the director of the Smithers Public Library, and I want everyone in this community and beyond to know that libraries are for everyone.
Laszlo, you've told me a few times that you don't always feel safe in Smithers. I've never felt that way, but I really want to learn what the actual experience is of Smithers from everybody's perspective. Mm-hmm. I'd like to be honest with what my community is like. So for a genderqueer person, this is apparently not a welcoming community. Do you mind if we talk about that?
Okay.
I don't want Suddenly I See to be a whitewash show where we blanket over the problems in our town. So tell me, what is Smithers like from your perspective?
It's not always a welcoming community. There are points, especially around the Pride events and whatnot, where I can feel like there's definitely a lot of support and acceptance and community towards, like, queer people. But other than the, like, work that the few allies that I have definitely met and conversed with and seen, and other than that kind of work that they're doing, I don't really get that much outside of it. And I don't want to say there's nothing as much as it's just kind of lacking.
Okay.
And well, I don't know. It's a very awkward position that Smithers is kind of in right now.
Okay. So here's maybe an example of what you're saying and how it has affected me. Mm-hmm. We have that beautiful rainbow crossing right in the middle of Main Street. And I'm very supportive of that sort of thing. And most people are, but not everybody. And I know this, but I've never actually had that conversation with anybody where they're angry about it. Until one day I was walking downtown, and it was a quiet day, so there's not a lot of traffic driving over the crosswalk, and I noticed that there were skid marks, really obvious skid marks, right through it. So I said to one of my trans friends, is that a message? And so they went over and looked at it and said, yep, definitely a message. Yeah. And I thought, okay, now I'm realizing that it's not as friendly as I thought.
It's really easy to look past and look over a lot of the hate that's pretty rampant in Smithers, just because as rampant as it is, it's not very in your face, not very aggressive kind of unacceptance. And I see a lot more of it on online spaces or in little like protest circles, small conversations I hear here and there or take part in, and all of it kind of combined makes a very, like, pretty clear picture that as accepting as it is on the outside, there's a lot of issues on the inside of the social circles.
Okay, so I want to address a couple of things that I've noticed in town, and they're very similar to what you're telling me. The first one is there's a lot of nepotism.
Yes.
People don't like to admit that. Like, we got to be more aware that we're doing it, because that's very passive, but it's there.
No,
the other
definitely.
One is this town has a very clear history of racism with signs in the windows, and you know, we don't have those signs anymore, but I have Wet'suwet'en friends who will not go into certain shops because they're going to get followed, and I said, screw that, we're going shopping together. This town is very passive aggressive.
Yes, no, and that's it's that same kind of passive aggression when it comes to a lot of queer things. And yeah, like there's a lot of lip service, a lot of saying that they're accepting, a lot of saying that everything's good, and then when it really comes down to it, it's just not,
you're not welcome.
Pulling the weight. It's not it's not really that welcoming. There's so much diversity in Smithers that it's kind of insane to me that you'll notice most of the shop owners around Main Street especially are white. And
exclusion.
It's very... Something's happening there. And I'm not a professional, so I have no idea what, but coming as somebody who's kind of, like, seen it from that perspective as a queer person, definitely I have seen a lot of that passive aggression and a lot of that hush-hush exclusion kind of happening around town.
So there are two things I want to point out here that we, things that we've said in past conversations about this. The first one is, and you've said this a couple of times, my existence is political. And yeah. I think that's exactly what, and you're required to be that way now. Yeah. You can't just not be political because people are not including you in things and you kind of have to stand up for yourself. But the other comment that I want to make is, and here's a question, what is normal? We used to have this goofy meme that we would say, you know, normal is a setting on a dishwasher. You know, that's all it is.
Yeah.
And in this town, it's because, you just said, it's a very diverse town. There's a lot of people immigrating to this town and bringing lots of color. We have a Caribbean shop in town. We have lots of indigenous people. We have lots of South Asians coming in and working in the shops. I see them all the time. And they bring lots of color and diversity and beauty to my town. And I like that there are... It's huge and different. But that means... normal is not what we think it is anymore. There's an expectation that we got to kick in the ding ding.
Especially in Canada. Like, Canada and America are both such big mixing pots for different kind of cultures and livelihoods and careers and
if we can do that well, then we're a great example to the rest of the world.
There's definitely no kind of, like, normal in terms of the population in, like, anywhere.
So we're talking about one-on-one personal interactions, but what about online? Is that a safe space? I'm guessing it's not.
I'd say I really haven't, like, perused the internetscapes around Smithers because I don't really... I know that Smithers is a very Facebook-heavy user town, so I haven't really touched Facebook, primarily because Facebook, it's not a very queer-friendly company. I have seen from other people who have been in the local Smithers online groups, there's a lot of vocal hatred being spewed out by a lot of people, but there are also online queer spaces for the, like, community in Smithers who just happen to use Facebook. So there are spaces for you to go in social media areas that do have people in Smithers that you can talk to who are also queer, but that's all you can kind of see in terms of, like, any kind of community building. There's no space for us in person. It's just kind of that small glimpse you get of it online on an app that not a lot of people my age really use anymore.
You just said something that I think we should address, and that was that there's no queer spaces. Now, I was raised in Kingston, Ontario, and when I was mid-20s, I think, this gay bar opened up. And it was popular with the gay community, but it wasn't popular with other communities, right? They've got a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And that probably wouldn't be considered a safe space, would it? If we had something like that here.
As much as I would love a space, a queer cafe or bar or something, I don't even know if it would be viable or even a good option as a business venture, because I can't even be sure that it would be...
Well, I think it would be targeted.
Yeah.
If I know my town.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed to hear myself say that, but...
Yeah, no, I definitely don't think it would last. Like, I can't really see any possibility of something like that opening and staying up.
Can we go back to a comment you made a minute ago about Facebook not being very friendly? How do you know that it's not friendly?
Well, I haven't taken a deeper look into a lot of the TOS and whatnot.
What's a TOS?
The Terms of Service of Facebook, right. Any website kind of has their Terms of Service, their TOS, and that's what you can and can't post and how you can and can't behave on their app. And Facebook recently made an update to their Terms of Service and kind of went over a lot of rules around hate speech, rules around
racism,
targeting any kind of community, targeting religions, things like that. And they went over what you can and can't say to these groups of people, but very strategically in most of these rules that they were revamping, pushed queer people to the side of these things that you can't say about a religion or someone's race or culture, you can say about a queer person, i.e., all Christian people have a mental disability because they believe in God, which I do not believe. But saying that would be against TOS, whereas saying something like, all trans people have a mental disability, and that is why they're trans, that's by acceptable. The TOS, that's acceptable.
Wow.
And they don't really explicitly say it for half of these things and don't really give examples like they used to give in old Facebook TOS. They used to give, here's examples of what the rules being broken looks like, and they would give explicit examples and things that you are allowed to say that you would be exempt from breaking these rules, but it kind of looks like it could be a broken rule. They didn't really include that in the newest version. So there's no examples so that they can dismiss that there is explicit queerphobia in their TOS updates.
Do you think that's going to become more of a problem with Mark Zuckerberg loosening some of his ethical policies?
There's a lot of stuff going down in the US around social media right now, and Meta recently got called out for kind of putting funds into banning another app, as a lot of people may know. And so part of that was kind of that social media, Facebook, Meta, Zuckerberg pushing his money into political roles and being able to sway politics with his money and with his standing. And that is very worrying, knowing that social media dev is just able to sway a political movement because of his money and his funding, and knowing full well that both Elon and Zuckerberg are very much funding and being funded by the state's new president, Mr. Trump, well, returning, I suppose. It is pretty worrying seeing how that TOS is being changed and knowing that that kind of is a precursor to a lot of worrying laws that are going to be continuing to pop up and have been popping up for a number of years.
So how do you then deal with hate speech and not get discouraged? I had a friend once, so there was a lot of lateral violence where I was living, and I didn't know how to deal with it. People were making these nasty little comments and then walking away, feeling self-righteous about it. And I heard somebody make a comment to one of my friends, and she said, "You can't talk to me like that." And that defused it. Mm-hmm. But that isn't nearly enough with what you're dealing with now. How do you deal with hate speech?
Honestly, when it comes to online, the best thing that I do is ignore it. If it's something on my page or post or something, then I'll delete it so I don't have to really, like, worry about it anymore, anyone calling attention to it later. And if it's on, like, some other video, I'll block a person or something, but it's gotten to a point with most social media and whatnot where even if you report blatant hate speech, the app just won't recognize it as such and just kind of let it go.
Yeah.
And it definitely is very upsetting and kind of exhausting sometimes, and that's why I think for a lot of trans people it's better to not be on social media.
So what about in person when there's hate speech?
In person?
Because you see that, don't you?
Yeah, it's every once in a while, not constant. It's not like in your face all the time. And usually people aren't brave enough to push it that far.
So you think they're braver on social media because...
Oh, for sure.
Okay, okay. Well, you know, in a way, I'm relieved to hear that because then you're not dealing with it.
Yeah. Okay. As brave as a person is on social media, it's because they have that fail-safe of you not knowing who they are and not having any of their real life being tied to their social presence on social media.
Well, either that or it is obvious who they are, but they're protected.
Because they're protected.
You can't...
Yeah. In person, if they push it to a point, they have to expect a fight, and it could be turning into a physical fight. If they're not a physically fit person, they're probably not willing to go to that point. And yeah, there's just a lot more being in your face that kind of just makes it less likely to happen in person. But then The downside of that is that when it does happen, it's much more scary because you're like,
here it is.
Here it is. This is a person who is confident they can handle this in real life. And you don't really know what to expect, especially if it's somebody that's larger than you, more fit than you, already aggressive, has a history of fighting people, have a lot of people with them. Yeah. It can be very intimidating.
Is the best advice in that situation for a trans person to try not to find themselves alone?
It depends on the situation, and judge the situations fairly, and be aware that if something goes wrong, then you need a way out.
Yeah.
And don't let yourself get into spaces where you realize that there's no way out of them.
Years ago, I was a personal trainer, and I took people out running. And my biggest advice to them invariably was, if you're running alone at night, stay on the busy streets.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Then even then, you're like, you're not even sure if...
There's no guarantee, but, you know, it's almost guaranteed if you're alone on a quiet street. Yeah. If there's somebody there who wants to attack someone, you're a target.
Yeah. I think there's not a lot of, like, advice that I could give. And it's really just that kind of situation where you have to play it by ear.
Well, okay, let's look at it from this side then. What are some signs of confrontation so that I know when someone needs me to step in?
I'd say it's pretty obvious when a person is uncomfortable when they're being talked to or pushed. And when, if you were using me as an example, when I'm kind of in that kind of situation, I get very flustered. I get very, like, flushed. I get very nervous, stuttery. I start to kind of have that kind of, like, closed-in body language. Like, I'm being a lot more defensive. And often people will either get, like, very defensive or very fighty, or, a lot of people that I know, they'll just kind of try to put their heads down and ignore the situation, or they'll start fighting. It really depends on the person, and so it is kind of just, like, knowing that person and knowing their panic responses and knowing their responses to being attacked suddenly, and recognizing that and being able to be, like, that person to tone down a situation before it goes poorly.
Okay.
I'm Allie Howard from Nature's Pantry, and we're proud to support Suddenly I See on CICK Community Radio.
I mean, if there's a listener-supported radio station, it means that people can get
daily, every day, a different way of looking at the world, not just what the corporate media want you to see, but a different picture, different understanding, but a different picture. Different understanding. Not only can you hear it, but you can participate in it. You can add your own thoughts, you know, and you can learn something and so on. Well, that's the way, people become human, you know. That's the way you become human participants in a social and political system.
Hi, this is Dave Harris of Bulky Valley Brewery, Smithers Grind. We have support with the show Suddenly I See to open up conversations about a community that needs to have more conversation about it.
You're listening to Suddenly I See, a gender toolkit for the Smithers, BC area on CICK 93.9 FM. I'm Christine Bruce.
And I'm Laszlo Polgar.
In the first half of this episode, Kicking at the Darkness, we talked about ways that Smithereens can be allies and not just supporters. Imagine how solid our community would be if everyone felt included. Now, the rest of that conversation. What, in your opinion, is true allyship? Let's talk first about what's the difference between a supporter and an ally.
Supporting versus allyship. I think supporting is the bare minimum. Acknowledging that there is a difference in somebody, not really being bothered by it, just using someone's preferred name and pronouns, just being supportive, just letting them be who they want to be, but not really putting any effort past that, right? Okay.
Can I describe that as a nice person? I've always hated that
person.
I don't want that on my tombstone. Yeah. He was a nice person.
I wouldn't really say, because it's that bare minimum, right? You wouldn't call a guy who's been laying his trash around the house for 3 weeks a nice person because he decided to clean up after himself suddenly and was doing it pretty consistently. That's the bare minimum. You should have already been doing that. And then on top of that, since it's the bare minimum, anybody could do it, and then you aren't by proxy a nice person because of it, because you could be the kind of person that turns around and starts misgendering that trans person because they pissed you off.
I aspired to be a supporter mm-hmm. for a while, but that was because I didn't really know what I was getting into. Yeah. So you don't really want to commit until you know, yeah, right? Definitely. So I can imagine myself misgendering somebody if I'm just a supporter, if I get into an uncomfortable situation for myself.
Yeah. No,
you definitely. Don't believe in this, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah. And that's that kind of like, that's a supporter. That's like not really, you notice that there's a bit of tension in the environment over your views and you very quickly just dismiss them.
Right.
And just let it be for the sake of everyone's comfort. And I think that's like the big switch between just being supportive and being an actual ally. I think allyship, you should be putting yourself into uncomfortable situations for the sake of defending people who cannot defend themselves. And that can be putting yourself in an uncomfortable conversation, calling somebody out, correcting someone on their pronouns, things like that. Because it's immediately kind of taking that heat and pressure off of the trans person that you're around and the queer person that you're around by putting it on yourself, taking some of that responsibility off of their shoulders to be pushing their own identity and making it part of yourself. And that first step of being an ally is starting to do that research of like, you're confused, you're just supporting right now, you don't really know what to do. So you start doing the research and start understanding how these things work. And that is that first like proper step into being an ally, actually educating yourself on these kinds of topics.
I was a good supporter mm-hmm. when I first met you, but I don't know if I was an ally.
Yeah.
And in the last 3 months, us spending all this time talking and me getting to know you better, I am a determined ally yeah. now, but part yeah. of it is because I feel like I have a stake in this, mm-hmm. you know? Oh, no, nobody's going to do anything to my friend Laszlo. yeah. Like, that's just never happening. Yeah. But before it was like, well, I don't really know anybody. So
yeah.
you were telling me an example of something that had happened to you in the past. And I thought, here's a good example of the difference between a supporter and an ally. Somebody witnessed somebody giving you a hard time. Mm-hmm. And they didn't step in. And afterwards, they said, well, that's just how that person is.
Yeah.
That's a supporter because you're trying to defuse yeah. the situation. But what they should have done was step in and say, you know, like Will Ferrell, yeah, I'm going to take the spotlight myself.
Take the pressure.
And then take the pressure.
Yeah.
You don't even have to say anything to them. You don't have to make them defensive. You just step in. I've heard this in Toronto, too. You know, you just step in and say, hey, you know, how are you doing today? Or
yeah.
would you like to look at this thing that I bought? Hey, do you yeah. read, you know? And all of a sudden, they're not in the conversation anymore. So they're done.
Yeah, definitely.
That's an ally. Somebody who just makes sure that you're safe and that you know you've got somebody there beside you.
Yeah. You definitely just letting them know that there's that support.
Yeah.
An active support, not just someone who will be not kind passive. Of dismissive and
right.
ignore it or says some crazy things to you. Because I've definitely had some crazy things said to me before. But yeah, no, that drive to change something that's happening, that's that allyship. That's the effort that you're putting in. Otherwise, you're just supporting. I feel like if you're not sacrificing something, if you're not putting yourself in that same situation, in the same boots that the trans person that you're around is in automatically by just being there, if you're not giving that kind of same like effort and stake and like having that same kind of like, if this goes wrong, then I get hurt too,
mm-hmm.
then it's not really allyship. You're not losing anything when you lose that fight.
Right. My daughter did something once years ago that I have never forgotten, and I really admired her for it. Somebody was saying something that was just not good enough, and my daughter walked over and said, ouch. And I thought, good for you, kid. Calling a spade a spade. And I hoped that I would be brave enough to come over and say something similar.
No, I definitely feel like you've taken enough steps where I feel like you would end up being that kind of person to step in the future. Which is super cool, and I'm super proud that, like, I've been able to kind of help another person like that kind of flourish into the world, and it's definitely really nice to see that there is that effort and allyship in Smithers, because I don't see it very often. I mostly just see that kind of passive support in Smithers, not that, like, fiery allyship that so many queer people in town need, and yeah, it's really great to know that there is, like, those people in Smithers that do care and want to be making that kind of difference. And I definitely think that, like, I would consider you an ally in Smithers.
Well, I'm really proud to be considered that. We have worked hard, but I'm really glad that we've gotten to this stage. It's a lot of hard work. I definitely think
if you're not doing that work, if you're not putting in work, if you're not making those sacrifices, then I wouldn't really ever consider you an ally. Mm-hmm.
Well, because you don't know if you can, yeah, you don't know if you can rely on me or not, yeah. Right? And I think there, in my opinion, I mean, we started out sounding like Smithers was pretty gray. I think it's gray on the good side. I think there are a lot of people who could put the work in, just haven't yet.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a dangerous town to live in.
I'd say it's not dangerous as much as it's just not very friendly.
Yeah. But it could be.
It could be. It has the potential to be friendly. I can see the, like, foundation and the ability that it has, but there's just not enough effort put into it to really give that drive and oomph to be, like, a very, like, supportive and welcoming community for this specific group of people. And many other groups of people that I have, like, talked to and conversed with and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I know it is a very, very, very common sentiment for a lot of people my age to just want to leave and not come back.
And that's too bad, because we're losing some really great people.
Yeah, if the majority of your students and kids, are their dream is to get out of town, I feel like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. No, we should be making people feel like it's the kind of place you want to live.
Yeah.
Not because it's beautiful, but because the people here are awesome.
When I think about living here, I'm like, oh, it's an okay place to live. But I'm only really thinking that it's an okay place to live because it's so pretty.
Yeah.
It is so refreshing and rejuvenating to get to live out in nature. The area that we live in, I love Northern BC, I love Canada. But if I didn't have the kind of environment that Smithers is in, if it wasn't as beautiful as it is, then I would find, like, probably really no upsides to being here.
That's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that. So how do we make it better? let's talk about how we can become better allies. One of the suggestions that I keep hearing over and over again from you, from other people, is make contact with the person who's standing out and humanize them.
Yes.
So we had a few people at the farmer's market last summer who stood out for me. And I caught myself staring, which is how I normalize, right? In my own brain, I have to keep looking at it so that it becomes normal. But it's really uncomfortable for you and it gets awkward. So I needed to go over and say, love that skirt. Or, you look great today. Am I ever glad you're at the market? I have to make them feel like, I'm really glad they're here. And whatever they look like or whatever, however they come across to me, that's good.
Definitely. I think, like, that first making someone feel more welcome than fishbowl than turned into that display of being different, a lot of that has to do with that just approach and, like, being super friendly just right off the bat. And that can do some crazy, like, wonders when it comes to just making people feel welcome and a lot more privileged to live here.
Yeah. Remember, I think months ago when we first started this, we talked about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I'm staring at somebody and it feels awkward and they notice that I'm staring at them. I give them a thumbs up, even if it's just from the distance. And that's a message that I'm staring at you, but I like what I'm seeing.
Yeah. I'm not staring at you because I hate you. I'm staring at you because I think you're cool.
Yeah.
Definitely, I catch myself staring at a lot of people very often, and I'm always like, oh my God. So I throw out a little compliment, or I'm like, oh, you're really cool. Or I'll come directly up to the person and, like, actually, like, start talking to them. I'm just, like, just appreciating how cool you are.
Trying to normalize it in my own brain.
Oh, that was so awesome.
Yeah. And then there was something that we said in the last episode that I really liked. Somebody recently recommended to me that transgender people, they don't always feel comfortable in public spaces. Mm-hmm. So I should keep inviting them to things. If I'm going out to something, I should invite a genderqueer person with me.
Yeah.
I mean, they might say no, but I should just keep inviting.
Yeah.
What about this? What about that? I mean, this morning I said to you, I've got one errand to run. Are you okay with us going into Total Pet and just petting some dogs because they're on display? And you said, totally. And I thought, this is one of those moments where I'm not trying to do you a favor. I'm doing me a favor.
Yeah.
Because I want you to stay in my town and I want you to love my town and I want you to see the good things about my town and I want the good things in my town to see you.
Yeah.
And so I need to keep connecting my transgender friends. I just need to keep inviting everybody to everything.
No, then definitely in a town like this where most of the social circles and things that you can kind of do around town are shared, it's so important, like, inviting people and bringing people in, because if you aren't doing that, then they don't even know what's going on. Like trans,
or they might not feel comfortable going, right?
Yeah. Because, like, most of the time, my thing is, like, I don't even know, when I was in high school, be like, oh, are you going to this party? And are you going to be here and here and here? And I'm like, guys, I'm not even invited into the group chat. I'm not there at all. What do you mean? What party? And so just inviting somebody is really helpful in a town like this, where it's very much word of mouth planning.
And we need to be inclusive.
Yeah, for sure.
It just makes me giddy to think that it's so easy.
And most of the time, they kind of do want to do something.
Yeah, it's nice to be included.
Yeah.
And then we were talking a couple of weeks ago about kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many great children's books out there now. Yes. Now, we were talking and I realized afterwards, when I was a small child, all of the protagonists were like white boys. It's ridiculous. So let's get away from that. And then so I said, you know, like, I read my kids Franklin the Turtle and Curious George the Monkey. And then I realized those are both boys' names. They're still boys. So we need to actively find kids' books that are either not gendered or that have transgender people in them.
Yes, definitely. I think my mom's go-to for storybooks were often Native folklore. So I didn't have that, like, oh, it's all boys that I'm reading and relating to. It's this mass group of just different characters and art styles and stories. And I think a part of that is the reason why I'm such a creative, like, now, is because I was introduced to all of these completely different structures and stories and formats and characters and protagonists so constantly throughout the years that there's not really a kind of normal building block structure for a story for me now. And it's super fun. Yeah, pretty great. Folklore stories are so fun for kids. They're great. You're not going to have very many. Little White Boy is the main character for this story, if it's about the raven from Native folklore.
Right. They hardly ever named their characters. They just called them what they were.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, it was perfect.
Smart.
Yeah.
No, we definitely need way more, like, general stories that are not as, like, character-driven as much as it's just the characters are there to push the story through.
And right. One final question, Laszlo.
Mm-hmm.
And one final comment. Thanks for being my friend this year.
Thank you.
I feel really lucky to have met you.
I feel very lucky too. I've felt myself get a lot more confident with being able to talk to people. Just like conversing, I've had a lot of ability to kind of practice talking to people that I wasn't forced to talk to. It's like in school and when you're like around parents and whatnot, you're kind of just like forced to talk to these people. You're like, you don't really have a choice in it. But this is like, you're probably like one of the very few people I've gotten to have that kind of relationship build very naturally. And it's really cool. And I've never felt forced to talk to you. It's always been a very choice. Like, I want to go and talk to this person and like hang out with them. And it's like super awesome that I've been able to do that with you. You're such an inspiring part of my day when I get to be a part of it.
Thanks. I never expected that to come out. I was just thinking how lucky I was. I said to somebody the other day, we were talking about the movies. I'm working at the Roy Theater and we're talking about these movies and all the controversy. And I said, you know what? I hardly know who's the main character and I don't really know the plot, but that controversy, that's what I want to do. You know, I want to have these deep conversations and that's with you. And I'm trying to be really sensitive about how I ask these questions and I don't want to make you ever feel unsafe or unsupported. I want you to always feel like, you know, I'm in your corner, but I need to know what that means before I can do a good job of it. You know, you've always made me feel like I was welcome to ask those things. So these were such meaty conversations and you would think I'd be exhausted at the end of them, but I am so excited whenever we get together.
No, I get like physically exhausted a bit. Like I'm like, oh, I've been talking for 3 hours straight. But mentally and emotionally, I feel very rejuvenated. I've felt a lot more like creative and inspired to like continue doing the things that I'm doing after our conversations. And it's always very refreshing and to be, I'm very happy that I've gotten to build like a friendship with you.
Well, the fact that you're going away to study art makes me really excited. And I want to hear from you in future how that's going, because I feel like from what you're saying to me, I feel like I've helped contribute to that, giving you confidence so that you can be yourself and be artistic. And the art that you put out right now, I just love it so much. you know, there's a motivation right there for people to get to know somebody who they consider different, mm-hmm. for whatever reason they consider them different. Get to know them, get to really appreciate who they are, and they'll be even a better version of that, whatever it is. Because you gave them confidence to be that.
Yeah.
How cool is that? Like,
yeah. Yeah, no, my favorite thing when I'm like developing relationships and talking to people is complimenting them and pushing those behaviors and things and expressions that people will do and like being like, I like that. I want to see more of that.
Yeah.
And so, like, complimenting them and like bringing that part of them out is so awesome. And I love getting to see it.
All right. One final question.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking this because at the beginning of the show and with every episode, we've said, we want to know how you feel about this. Send us your questions. Give us a call. Write to us on Facebook. We never heard anything from but one person. Have I done something? Is this like, I don't feel safe? What is this?
I don't think it's as much as I don't feel safe or distrust or anything, as much as it's just, say it's more of a confidence thing. And me right now, we've had these in-depth conversations. I don't think, like, if I were listening to something on the radio, even if I felt connected to it, I don't think I would reach out knowing that my comment would be read by people and picked apart or mulled over. It is very anxiety inducing, and so I don't think it's necessarily something that you have to worry that you've done as much as it's just how other people are confident in themselves, because this is a very like Smithers-centric show, and so if there is a trans person in Smithers that's watching it, I can probably say this is what's happening, is they just don't feel confident to out themselves in that way, because there is so many different ways that can go wrong for them,
mm-hmm.
especially in a town as small as this. Smithers has its things that it needs to work on when it comes to queer acceptance and positivity.
Maybe that's an example of how it's not friendly, because people still don't feel confident to contact us.
It's that, and it also just in terms of like reaching people, a lot of people that are looking for something to respond to are usually going online for that, and so it can just be kind of like a reach thing as well, but I don't really think it's anything that you would really need to worry about or stew over.
My one final comment to you and to the listenership mm-hmm. is, if I've given you any confidence, I hope that people listening to these conversations will also feel some confidence. I never intended to out anybody, and don't feel like I need to know that you're out there or who you are, but I am an ally, and if you ever need me, do reach out.
Yeah.
You are valued in this community by me.
I feel like even if there's no response now, I think that, this is only a first step into, like, being very engraved in the community and being a huge, like, supporting ally of it.
Yeah.
And if you continue to kind of go down that road that you're on, then you will definitely have a lot of friends in the community that will be in the community themselves.
Well, and I hope that they will be more confident in the community.
I
would like to see our community strengthened that way.
I would love to like end up coming and visiting at some point and seeing how much more accepting Smithers is. That would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great. I'd be like, oh my goodness. I would be very, very pleased by that.
Yeah. Thank you for the contribution that you've made to our town, Laszlo. I think the town is so much better, so much more colorful and interesting with you in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really grateful again for your friendship and look forward to many years of hearing what you're doing with your life.
Thank you.
And that's our final conversation on gender queer issues for Suddenly I See on CICK 93.9 FM in the Smithers area. If you have any final comments for us, we'd love to hear from you. You can call the CICK station at 250-847-8769 and leave a message. If you've been listening to our bi-weekly episodes, you may recall at the very beginning of this, Laszlo and I suggesting one final conversation with Dr. Lee Ayrton, the author of the book Gender Your Guide, on which we based our conversations. I'm currently negotiating that final conversation with Lee, and if we can make it happen, we'll air it here on CICK. Meanwhile, Laszlo and I hope to see you around Smithers, BC, with the goal of making our town more inclusive, more diverse, and so much more the kind of town we can be proud of. Thanks for listening, Lizzie.